Investment flash.
All right, quick one before we get going. Oil is knocking on 100. The 10-year is knocking on 5. One of those doors is about to break. That's the show.
Good morning. This is Investment Flash, the New York edition for Friday, September 11th, 2026. I'm Marie, and with me as always are Tom and Gerald. Let's get into it.
Friday the 11th. Tom, that cold open was ominous, buddy. Did you practice that in the mirror?
Ha, maybe. But seriously, Gerald, our crude call from yesterday, still printing. Crude's back near 100.
It is, and I'm already nervous about anyone still chasing it. The 10 years flirting with 5, and the long-duration Treasury ETF is at its 52-week low. That's not a tail trade anymore.
No, but that's exactly the point. The market has fully decided tight energy and sticky rates are the base case. When everyone's on one side, the other side starts looking cheap.
So let's unpack that. Nikkei says China's back buying oil, and there's renewed fighting near Hormuz. Brent crossed 100, commodities near an 18-year high. I'm still a buyer of crude here.
And I'm buying gold, not crude. Oil is war premium. Gold is the hedge that hasn't crowded yet. The gold ETF is 22% below its high. That's the cleaner trade.
Hold on. The 10-year near 5 is the other half of this. CNBC says income investors are rethinking duration. That's just a polite way of saying sell long treasuries.
Right, and the inverse long treasury ETF has already returned 13% year to date. So the short duration trade is crowded, but it's also working.
Working until it doesn't. The bear case is a soft CPI print snaps the whole thing back. Violent long bond rally. And the inverse ETF gets punished first.
Fair point, but the absence of credit panic is what's striking. If the long end is this stressed, where are the widening spreads? Investment grade is only 8% off its high.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the tea.
Honestly, that's the real disagreement with the duration sell-off. Credit's not confirming.
So for me, the cleanest expression is own energy over long-duration credit. And keep the yen hedge live. More on that in a second. Speaking of yen, Vicent told traders, I am the house now. But Nikkei says the buybacks are fading and fundamentals point to a weak currency. So I'm long dollar yen.
Intervention fatigue is real. But my worry is the Ministry of Finance. If JGB yields follow the US leg, they might have to defend the yen for real. Then dollar yen gets whipsawed.
See, this is what I mean. Nobody's asking that. The press is quiet on the JGB curve while the 10-year approaches 5. That's a gap in the coverage.
But for now, the path of least resistance is weak yen. Buy Japan hedged equity. It flatters exporters. Up almost 20% year to date.
And a small short on the yen ETF as a direct bet? Maybe. But keep it tight.
All right, switching to Japan property. Nikkei had 3 separate signals today that all point the same direction. Construction cost inflation and scarce labor are giving pricing power to big contractors and landlords.
Yeah, the hotel story, builders turning down projects because they can pick and choose. Taisei is the direct winner on that.
Hulick leading a $1.5 billion Tokyo office tower purchase is the cleanest mark to market. Cap rates firming means property holders win.
And Sekisui Chemical buying an Australian modular builder, that's a supply-constrained market entry. All 3 names are structural, not cyclical.
Plus, if labor is that tight, the Bank of Japan can't be thrilled. Inflation through wages, not just energy.
Tom bringing it back to rates. Buddy, you're obsessed.
Guilty. But it's the same trade.
Let's do autos. BYD shelved its own Malaysian plant and is in advanced talks with a local partner. That still gets them ASEAN capacity, so the price pressure on Tesla doesn't go away.
Right, that's why I'd hold BYD, but it's a yellow flag. Dropping a wholly owned plant smells like cost or policy friction. The local partner in its supply chain wins, so Malaysia equities at 7.8 times earnings look interesting.
Nissan holding 1 million Japan capacity is a margin trade-off. Protects jobs and utilization, but caps restructuring savings. I'm not buying that.
Agreed. The restructuring story was supposed to cut fixed costs. Keeping capacity undermines that. But if they can maintain domestic supply with new CapEx, maybe it's okay. Hold. Now, this one is right up my alley. Ukraine is preparing a 5G auction with no high-risk vendor framework. Kyivstar's pilot already relies almost exclusively on Huawei. That's a national security problem with drone war implications.
Exactly. If they write the restriction before the auction, Nokia and Ericsson get the whole build. Nokia's up almost 9% in the last week already, though.
That's the thing. The easy money might be made. Ericsson is 27% below its high, less crowded. I'd be cautious.
This swing factor is regulatory timing. If they delay the framework, Chinese vendors get a foothold. That's the risk case. But the direction is clear. European equipment makers should win.
Okay, let's talk Apple. The folding duo, Nikkei says Apple is developing it, and Nitto Denko and Nippon Electric Glass are potential materials beneficiaries. A new form factor is a fresh product cycle. Apple rose 3.6% last session.
And the supply chain angle is specific. Those names get content if the duo ships. But there's no launch date, no volume. It's early.
Early is generous. It's a rumor with a parts list. But I'll say this. If it does ship, the materials guys are the better trade than Apple itself. Lower valuation, higher torque.
Fair enough. I'm still buying Apple on the product cycle narrative, but the materials suppliers are the sharp way to play it. Last group, memory. China's CXMT has overtaken SK Hynix and Micron on profit margin, according to Nikkei. That's a mainland challenger ahead on profitability, not just volume.
And Micron fell almost 5% last session. That's the market telling you something. Sell Micron.
The structural point is that low-cost Chinese competition isn't just in commoditized chips anymore. It's in the margin tables. That pressures DRAM pricing for everyone.
I hate to agree with the bear case here, but SK Hynix is also named behind CXMT. This isn't a one-off. Maybe short both.
Tom, did you just say, I hate to agree with the bear case? That's growth.
Even I know when the margin story flips.
All right. The most original take today is from Nikkei on the BRICS summit in Delhi. The label turns 25. The formal block turns 20. But the piece argues the original convergence story is now an instrument of influence question. Can India keep China from turning the grouping into its platform?
Honestly, I usually glaze over BRIC stuff, but that framing, cohesion as the real variable, that's smart. It's not about commodity demand anymore.
It's macro diplomacy. If India can't hold the line, the bloc becomes another China export channel. That affects trade flows, commodity pricing, everything.
Which is why I push back on anyone saying BRICS is irrelevant. The membership expansion alone changes the negotiation floor.
Okay, you've sold me. I'll read the Nikkei piece. So let's zoom out. The tape right now is two crowded trades meeting head on. Crude printed a fresh 52-week high last week, up 11.5%. And the 10-year is knocking on 5, right as the long-duration Treasury ETF sits at its low, down 7.2% year-to-date. This isn't a tail trade anymore.
The bear case is that everyone's already on it. The inverse Treasury ETF has returned 13% year-to-date. A soft CPI print would punish the inverse ETFs first.
And yet, no credit panic. That's the disagreement. High yield isn't in the headlines. Investment grade is only 8% off its high. The long end sell-off hasn't spread.
So the cleanest expression isn't one ticker. It's own energy over long duration credit. Stay hedged against a yen reversal, long dollar yen, short the yen ETF, while the inflation trade still has room.
And don't forget Micron's drop. That's the reminder that even crowded semiconductor winners break when a low-cost challenger shows up in the margin table.
Right. And that's the structural through line today. Supply shocks, low-cost challengers, and policy gaps. All three create winners and losers, but you have to be selective.
Exactly.
100%.
That's the whole story. As always, none of this is investment advice. We're just three friends arguing about markets, so you don't have to.
Speak for yourself. I argue for fun. Anyway, that's our show. We're back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. London time for the weekend edition. Gerald, what are you watching?
I'm watching the JGB curve. If Japan's 10-year starts moving, it changes everything.
And I'm watching whether the BRICS summit produces any concrete trade or finance commitments. That's the tell on cohesion.
If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts. See you tomorrow.